Welcome to the Scam Economy with your host, Matt Bender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an episode of the show known as Scam Economy. Whew, it's been a while. It's been a little bit since I've seen you all on this show, haven't I? Hasn't it? Whatever I said, one of those works. So, hello, everyone. It is I, the host of Scam Economy, Matt Bender. And we're doing a show straight to live stream. You know, sometimes I do a taped version of Scam Economy, unlike my other show where I usually do a live stream. But Scam Economy is back just in time. And I got to say, you know, so I was looking, I wasn't sure when the last time I did an episode of Scam Economy was. And it's been like half a year. The last episode of Scam Economy came out at the very end of May of 2024. Now, I probably did an episode or two that was related to crypto sometime on my other show, Doomed. Maybe. I feel like it hasn't been that long since I talked about crypto on a live stream. I mean, I do so many shows. I'm on the Majority Report. I do my Thursday night panel show with a bunch of other YouTubers and podcasters known as Leftist Mafia. And I could not believe, though, that while I did all those other shows regularly, I was derelict in my Scam Economy duties. But here I am, back, refreshed, ready for an all-new season of Scam Economy, I guess you can say. Oh, man, and it's gonna be something, folks, because we are in official, like, you know, if you've been listening to this show for the past, this is episode 59, if you've been listening to the past 58 episodes, you might have thought as time went on that, oh, crypto was dying down as the season of the show known as Scam Economy continued on. But, you know, I guess it's like the last episode of the Star Wars trilogy, right? Somehow Palpatine has returned. Somehow. Crypto is back in full throttle. Yeah, well, that's a good thing for this show, right? If we're gonna look on the bright side of things. Anyway, let's get into how somehow Palpatine has returned. And this is good because I'll probably, in the episodes going forward, I will probably be, getting deeper into all these various things we're about to touch upon. But I think a good way to kick off Scam Economy's return episode is to discuss, in a quick summarized format, which will probably take up this entire episode, just in case you know, you want to know what I mean by summary. Let's take a quick look at how exactly we've gotten from, oh, crypto winter, the end of, I always made sure to tell you all that crypto is not dead. In all the previous episodes, I made sure to explain how crypto had not gone anywhere. It just fell out of favor with the mainstream. And, you know, retail investors and your mom and dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, who were seeing the Super Bowl ads, hearing all about crypto, threw their money in and then lost it all. So, you know, that was the difference I made sure to explain. But now crypto has a new, I guess, power, you can say. And that power runs straight through the Donald Trump White House, because Trump is back, and he's, unlike last time, pro-crypto now. and he's rolling back all the crypto. And it wasn't, you know, I shouldn't say all the crypto regulation as if there was so much holding crypto down. But whatever there was to make sure a cryptocurrency, which so badly wants to be treated like a legitimate financial institution or instrument, but of course they don't want to be subject to the same rules that legitimate financial services and instruments are subject to, you know, whatever little regulation they had on them, that's all rolled back, and they're about to experience a new golden age, folks. A golden age. A golden age of grift. So let's get right to it. Let's discuss what happened. And to start at the beginning, let's roll back to, you know, we don't need to go all the way back to what I already covered with how crypto crashed, you know, due to the failure of a number of crypto loan companies and financial services companies, and then the FTX bankruptcy, which, you know, if only Sam Bankman-Fried had waited a couple of, maybe like a year, if he'd only waited a year and backed a different horse, he thought the Democrats was the route to power in politics, because they were the crypto friendly party in his view way back in like 2021, 2022. Little did he know that basically, which I don't know why he didn't know this. Maybe he just really never thought Donald Trump would find his way back in the White House. But little did he know, somehow, if you ever want to wonder how smart this guy was, little did he know that if you buy Donald Trump off, you can have him believe in anything. So let's go to that as the beginning. And that is basically how crypto bought their way into the White House and really Congress as a whole. And I'm not going to get too deep into this. We will definitely be doing episodes specifically on this in the weeks and months ahead. But crypto came big during the 2024 election season. There were a number of crypto advocacy groups, such as Coinbase's Stand With Crypto. And there were a number of pro-crypto super PACs. For example, Fair Shake, that poured money into congressional races. Tons of money into congressional races. And they did so without making it clear that they were getting involved for specifically cryptocurrency-related interests. These were very powerful people, very rich people, some of the people who run the biggest crypto companies and exchanges, who were running ads against certain candidates without saying they were running against those candidates because they were about crypto. In fact, many of these ads never mentioned cryptocurrency once. They basically just attacked that candidate over a slew of other issues under the, you know, the disguise of just being like a group that cared about like bipartisanship and Congress and whatever specific pet issue they were going after. In all, $245 million, around that amount, $245 million were spent by these pro-crypto groups in the 2024 election. And they were very successful. They only lost a handful of races. I think you can count them on one hand. They took out some very pro-working class, pro-crypto regulation congresspeople. Off the top of my head, probably the best example of who was taken down by crypto money is now former Democratic senator in Ohio, Sherrod Brown. And they basically helped this scenario where we have a Republican in the White House and a Republican Senate and a Republican House, an entirely Republican Congress, Republican legislative branch, a Republican executive branch. And I mean, you could argue or not whether they helped make this happen because Trump hasn't installed any new Supreme Court justices yet, but who knows what's going to happen in the next 4 years. But a Republican, you know, judicial branch as well. And crypto was ecstatic. They got their win. Because Donald Trump is all aboard the crypto train right now. This was a guy who was very anti-cryptocurrency the last time around when he was president. But he did some soul searching over the past 4 years, and that soul searching was basically crypto money poured into his coffers. And various digital asset companies explained to him how he can make so much money getting into the DeFi, decentralized finance industry, and, you know, launch some crypto projects while he's at it too. And we'll get into that shortly. We'll get right into that. But let's stick to November 2024 when the pro-crypto candidate Donald Trump wins, thanks to, well, not entirely, but obviously with a very strong helping hand from the crypto lobby. And immediately after Donald Trump wins, Bitcoin spiked. In fact, Bitcoin, for the first time ever, hit six figures. And that spike continued. It swelled and pumped Bitcoin all the way up to, I think, 105, 106, I want to say. It was the peak. It went above 100K. It's been sitting around there. Sometimes it dips into the 90K. Range, but that's where it's pretty much been since the election. And that's because the crypto industry believes that this is going to be a golden age of crypto because of Donald Trump being in office, because all these Congress members who kept their seat or won a seat, thanks to the crypto lobby, you know, those senators and House members are going to have to thank the people that made this happen. And so you're going to see very pro-crypto legislation come out of this Congress. And so crypto is basically, you know, ecstatic. This is their time. And, you know, you had Donald Trump. He appointed David Sacks, a tech entrepreneur, guy who made a ton of money selling his startup during the tech boom. He appointed, and also I should mention, good friend of Elon Musk. Trump appointed David Sacks to be his crypto and AI czar. So you have a pro crypto guy there, someone who is invested in crypto companies, a guy who is shared a little too much on his podcast All In about being getting in early with certain cryptocurrencies like Solana and how they were supposed to be holding, but they sold a little off, dumped a little on the retail investors when maybe they were telling everybody to buy is a good investment. And then you got Trump signing executive orders, specifically an executive order that rolled back crypto regulations that were put in place by the Biden administration. Like I said, very, like, very small sort of regulatory, you know, devices that they needed to, like, for example, they now need to know their customers. Like, if you had ever purchased on a crypto exchange, just to see what it was, you probably received these messages from every exchange saying that they had to abide by, you know, KYC laws, know your customer, and they needed your information because, you know, it's important that if you're using a financial institution, that this financial institution knows who you are, so you can't, launder money, use your funds for illicit or illegal activities. You know, you don't want someone running a drug trafficking trade or, I don't know, hiring hitmen and basically being able to do it without their fingerprints anywhere to be found. You know, little things like that. Yeah, but, yeah. Crypto wasn't happy that they had to abide by all these regulations and rules. So here you have crypto in a new boom. And I will say, I have been pleasantly surprised that it hasn't entirely won its way back into the mainstream. Like, when this show started, crypto had just started to ascend into the mainstream, and, you know, with the commercials on TV, complete normies, non-crypto investors, your parents, people who had no idea what crypto was, asking about this stuff, getting involved, wanting to get involved because they didn't want to miss out on the big boom. I've been pleasantly surprised that it hasn't got into that level yet. I think maybe for some people, those memories of losing a lot of money just a few years ago, too fresh in their mind. So I think smartly they've stayed away. And also, I should say, I went to CES, the Consumer Electronic Show, earlier this year in Las Vegas, like I've been going every year for the past few years, to cover the event. And I always like to pay attention to, and after having gone for a number of years, I have this sort of baseline to follow here. I've always paid attention, I've been really enamored, not by like which companies are there showing off what. What I like to pay attention to, and obviously I pay attention to that because that's what I covered, things that are there, but something that's important to keep in the back of your mind for myself while I attend this, that sort of gives you a good idea of where the industry and certain spaces within the industry are going. I like to, you know, take a look around and see what's not here from last year, or how are companies marketing themselves differently from last year. And what's interesting to me is crypto, NFTs, sort of Web3 as a whole, pretty much almost completely absent from CES. After just a year or two ago, crypto was everywhere. Every company was a Web3 company, whether they were doing something Web3 or not. They just liked using the buzzwords. Every company had an NFT. Excuse me, every company had an NFT to give away. Every company was telling you about the metaverse and how you can mint this on the blockchain and do that via the blockchain. There was very little of that. NFTs, not even there at all. I did not come across a single NFT mention, let alone a company doing NFTs. There were a few like Web3 blockchain companies like doing things in that space. They were even like corralled into a very small section, as if CES was like, oh god, these guys, put them in the corner together, they're embarrassing now. I mean, we'll take their money, but put them over there. I mean, it was a huge difference. And what I took away from that was not that like crypto is dead. Because again, I said this when crypto was having, during the crypto winter, during the good times for crypto and in the bad times for crypto. No, even during those bad times, I said, you know, there's still a lot of people in that space with a lot of money on the line, and they got the money to spend. But what I took out of their absence from CES was that the tech industry, I think at this point, at least, we'll see how it changes going forward. But I think the tech space is done with crypto as a technology product. And that includes, you know, everything else I just mentioned, the metaverse, NFTs, blockchain to an extent. I think people, whether it's just retail investors or crypto investors or technology entrepreneurs, startup founders, VCs, angel investors, whatever, all of them, I think they've sort of come to the conclusion, again, at least for now, that crypto is a financial product. The idea of crypto as a technology product, at least, again, for now, and I say this because tech is currently obsessed with their new shiny object, and that's AI. That was the pivot right after the crypto bubble burst last time around. And they're like, fuck, this is, crypto was, we put all our chips in crypto. Every friggin' VC firm, every one of these guys were all in on crypto. All they were talking about, that was the buzz. That was the buzzword. That was the trendy thing. But then that fell apart and they quit. And OpenAI, with their timing with ChatGPT, it just was perfect for the complete pivot. And the tech world is all in with AI right now. So again, I'm just saying for now. But I think the dream of crypto as a technological innovation is currently, I'm not going to say dead, but it's down and out. It's in the ER. They're obsessed with AI right now. Crypto right now is a financial product, wholly. And the way crypto is going, I think it's becoming even more obvious to people that that dream of crypto becoming an actual currency, that dream has got to be dead at this point. And I'm using that word dead in this instance. Because the idea that this was something that was going to shake up the system and destroy the old money financial institutions couldn't be more ludicrous right here, right now. Because you have those very institutions now. I mean, just look at the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Old money, Donald Trump. Old school real estate investor. And then you have all these different financial investment firms getting involved. You have crypto being traded on various platforms that you do stock trading on. And then you have the crypto exchanges specifically that pump meme coins. And boy, we're going to get to meme coins in a second. It's gambling. And I've always said this. It's gambling. That's what I liken it to. It's gambling. If you want to gamble and crypto is your craps, crypto is your poker, crypto is your blackjack, crypto is your slots, then by all means, if that's what you want to do. It's your money. Who am I? But the idea of crypto as like an investment, especially with, and let's get into this now, because I think this is, let's get into, because I mentioned how Trump thing and him enriching himself with crypto, because if he can make money off something, he's pro it. And then I just mentioned meme coins. So let's get into this. So Trump wins the election. Crypto is cheering. Bitcoin is surging. Trump is rolling back crypto regulation. He's installing pro-crypto people in his administration. Everything's coming up tulips for crypto. Rose, I did it for you, Rose. But then we're coming towards the inauguration. Donald Trump's going to be inaugurated. Here we go. Inauguration weekend hits. Big events. Every single company that wants to get in bed with the administration is throwing parties. You got the big tech companies, Mark Zuckerberg and Meta, Jeff Bezos and Amazon. You got Google. You got, who else was there? Jeez, Elon Musk. All these companies. You got, there was a bunch of companies that donated to, all those companies I just mentioned too. They all donated to Donald Trump's inauguration fund. I believe Robinhood and Kraken and Coinbase and a few other crypto exchanges, they did money raising for Trump's inauguration, where they held parties. They all bent the knee so they can get what they want, enrich themselves. The rich get richer, baby. That's how this whole market works. But then Friday night, right before the inauguration, I believe that's January 17th, there's a crypto ball being held. It's one of the first inauguration weekend events. And this is the one that's bringing out all the celebrities. You know, you had Snoop Dogg, for example, a guy who last time Trump was elected, he had some very strong words for any sellout who dared to perform for Donald Trump. You had Snoop Dogg performing for Donald Trump at the Crypto Ball in 2025. Amazing. Basic. Just, it's incredible how people have no problem selling out. You know, no integrity. Just who cares, as long as it lines their wallets and fills their bank account. And these people are already insanely rich. It's not even like, you know what? I get it. That's someone who's clawed their way and always, you know, never got their dues. And now is their time to, you know, cash in. I get it. It's not even that. These are people who have so much money. They could skip the one event if they really wanted to. But no. So at the Crypto Ball, though, Donald Trump surprised everybody, because he's suddenly on Truth Social. And then about, what is it, like 30 minutes later on Elon Musk's X, the Everything app formerly known as Twitter, he posts about a Trump coin, a Trump token. Just out of the blue. No one was expecting it, apparently. Well, no one was expecting it outside of his circle of insiders. But he just posts about this Trump token. And he makes it clear in his posts, too, that you're buying memes. Have fun. Like, he really is trying hard to be like, this is not financial advice without saying that. Trying really hard to say this isn't like a... this isn't a commodity. This isn't... you're not buying an asset in that way. This isn't something the SEC should be coming after me for. That's another thing I forgot to mention. That's another reason why the crypto world was so happy, because the SEC, headed up by their critic, Gary Gensler, is over. In comes the new pro-crypto SEC. Get ready for it. But anyway, you have Trump dropping this meme coin. And immediately it pumps. I know people who saw it when it was like at 75 cents. It was much lower than that. It started much lower than that. I know people who saw it was like 10 bucks. It went up to like 30, 40. And by the next morning, it peaked around like $70, $75. And people made a lot of money off of this. And by people, I mean the insiders. Because you can look at who made a lot of money off of this for the most part. It's all on the blockchain. And there are people who made millions off this by either A, getting in so early that this was insider trading. Like they knew about this before it went into the public eye. They got in super early to the point where, you know, $100 could buy you a lot of Trump tokens. Or B, they got in sort of early, you know, probably after people already knew about it. Trump already promoted it. But they had a lot of money to put into it. There are people who put tens of millions of dollars into this. And they walked away with tens of millions of dollars. There are people who made millions off the Trump meme coin. That's what meme coins are. For people who don't know. So anyone can make a meme coin. Anyone can make it. It's basically a pump and dump crypto token. And what I mean by pump and dump crypto token, I mean the legit crypto tokens aspire to be a Ponzi scheme. Like, that's the aspiration, to be around long enough where you're like a well-oiled multi-level marketing scheme, an MLM. You know, you drop something to get new investors in, you sell off, you sell off some, the old investors sell off some, then you drop something new to get more investors in. You make the token buyers believe that there is some crypto, people love this word, utility to your token. That you have a big project in mind. They love using that term too, project, my crypto project. That there's something here. That they're actually investing in something. Because again, these are all just fucking numbers on a screen. You don't get anything in return other than a number on a screen when you invest in cryptocurrency. When you buy a token, it's a number on a screen. You get no service, no product. The entire point, unless this project makes you believe that there is going to be a utility attached to that token, you're buying a number on the screen that you hope other people buy also, which makes your number on the screen worth more than their number on the screen until eventually you sell your number on the screen to the next sucker who buys it for even more, so that the people you unload it on, they can also hopefully unload it on that next sucker, and so on and so forth. Now, some crypto tokens are successful at this, and they get to that MLM status. They get to that Ponzi status, where they're able to keep the facade going, to the point where they look like they're an actual legitimate company or organization. And that there's something you're actually investing in, something real that you're actually investing in. Meme coins, for the most part, don't aspire to this. Now, there are some that do, so they try to convince you to drop your money on and invest. But meme coins basically are openly a casino. You look at all the meme coins that are dropping, and there are literally dozens dropping every few minutes. And you try to back the right horse. And then you got to jump off the back of that horse before it breaks its leg about 5 minutes into the race. I mean, that's basically what meme coins are. You have people investing in meme coins. And the whole purpose is to dump when you think it'll hit the peak before someone else dumps because they thought it hit the peak. And a lot of times, the person who walks away, the only person who walks away with money, is the person who created the meme coin and then either just held on to a bunch of tokens they created for free, or were like the first to buy at the most rock bottom price. And then when number goes up, they just sell off all their holdings, basically taking the entire pool that everyone had invested into for themselves, thus making everyone else's investment completely and entirely, utterly worthless because there's no money in the pool anymore. That one guy just took it all. So that's essentially what a meme coin is. And so Trump launched this meme coin, and it was very successful for a meme coin, no doubt about it. And the digital asset company that helped Trump create this, they did a scheme that helps crypto investors feel more comfortable with investing in these. And that's basically, in layman's terms, they basically locked Trump's investment up, like Trump's holdings up. Like Trump's holding a lot. You've probably seen all the headlines about how Trump made himself billions of dollars richer. Now, as much as I'd like to call Trump a scammer, well, he's a scammer, but as much as I'd like to call Trump a scammer in this instance, it's slightly inaccurate because he technically hasn't scammed anyone yet because he has his holdings locked up. He's just a paper billionaire. He can't sell any of his holdings. They're locked away. And as the months and years go by little, some of those holdings will be then made available to him. And that's what he can sell. And the reason this makes crypto investors feel more comfortable is because that means the holder of the most of this asset, they can't just unload like in those examples I just gave you earlier. Excuse me. Let me get a drink of water. I need not water, soda, because I need caffeine. There we go. So for a meme coin, Trump's meme coin is rather successful. In terms of it didn't shit the bed and completely die right away. Now, the funny thing is, in the ultimate irony is that the crypto world who rejoiced in Donald Trump's election just like 2 months ago, and we're celebrating all the way up until inauguration weekend. Now, a good portion of them are pissed. In fact, some of them were saying that they thought Biden was actually, if they knew this would happen, they would have went with Biden because Biden would have been better for them. Because this is what happened. For a lot of these guys, they want crypto to be seen as legit. They really do. Because that'll help their actual investment, the long-term crypto investors, people who actually believe in crypto. But meme coins basically pull the wool off the sheep's back, and they show you exactly what the space is. And they would argue that's not what the space is. And if to that argument, I would say, okay, if that's your argument, meme coins just took over your fucking space. Any sort of legitimate crypto is basically seeding ground to meme coins now. When Trump launched his meme coin, you had a complete tank of the rest of the market tanked. There were tons of tokens, tons of cryptocurrencies, meme coins or otherwise, that tanked because people saw what was happening with the Trump coin. And so they ran to sell off their other holdings to then invest in Trump's token. So that tanked whatever crypto was trying to, grow its user base and investor pool. And now, obviously, this ebbs and flows. Some have regained. Some have bounced back. Some are still feeling that pain. But from what I heard, actually, Trump world was a little bit shocked at how much this took off. Because now remember, they have another crypto project. World Liberty Financial. This is what I said earlier. What are those more like legitimate crypto outfits? It's like a crypto investment initiative. And the interesting thing there is that, like, it did not take off the way this did, which again gives you a good idea of sort of where the space is. Meme coins are the thing. Meme coins are what crypto is, at least for now, if you want to argue, but it is what it is. And Trump basically legitimized them. I mean, how perfect is it that the guy who has casinos basically stuck his flag in the ground on the crypto ground in the area that was all about the crypto casino? Now, like I was saying, the Trump world wasn't quite prepared for this to take off. So it seems like this is why their next move was to launch another token. They launched the Melania token 2 days after Trump dropped. And again, right now, the Trump meme coin has been, you know, bouncing back and forth in the $20, $30 range. Like I said, it was up like 70 plus, 70 around $75 at its peak. And it completely dropped off and more than halved after they launched a Melania token just 2 days later, basically showcasing to anyone who is investing, like legitimately, trying to legitimately invest as much as, you know, whatever legitimate means in this space, that holy shit, they're just trying to fucking squeeze whatever money out of this. There's actually no there with the Trump meme coin. It's just a money ploy. I mean, big shocker for these people, but Trump trying to make money as quickly as possible. Wow, that's his end goal. Wow, who knew? But that was what it took for them to be like, whoa, wait a minute. And so they pulled out and sold. And so, you know, Melania pretty much tanked really quickly. I mean, it's still around there, like a buck or two, I think. It's around like the $2 some odd range. But, you know, they had a good thing and they wanted more. They wanted to try to recreate that Trump success, which I don't know why they thought that would happen with Melania token. I mean, you could just see in just the broader picture, even just the political world, that this whole Republican trifecta right now is basically because of Donald Trump and only Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party, but it's only about Donald Trump. A great example is there was just a race in a special election, I believe, in Iowa, or state Senate level, in an area that, like, Trump won by like double digit percentages, and the Democrat won just this past week by a good margin too. Why? Because for the Republican base, it's not about being a Republican. It's about being MAGA. It's about Trump. And they don't have anyone who could recreate Trump, at least as of right now, in January of 2025. Certainly isn't Melania. So, you know, Melania didn't take off. People lost money in Melania. People lost money in Trump, too, you should know. Like, that's where the money comes from. Anyone who walked away with more money took that money from the suckers who lost money. You could see people who lose who lost money right on the blockchain. You could see the transactions. There are people who lost a lot of money on Trump. You see number going up and you go, oh, it's just going to keep going. So you buy in. Little did you know, you bought in just when everyone else was dropping their bags and you're left holding it. So, you know, if you're wondering where Trump was, by the way, on all this, a reporter asked him about his meme coin just last week. And he was like, I don't know much about it other than I launched it. Other than it was very successful, he said. Just to give you an idea of how much he cares about it and how much he knows about the crypto space. You know, he was studying up how to mint a coin on the blockchain, right? He was studying it up. He was sitting on YouTube watching the 20-minute how to launch your own meme coin videos, right? Yeah. He doesn't care about shit. He didn't do any of this. Someone was like, let's do this. We'll make a lot of money. He was like, throw my fucking name on it and let's make some money. That's exactly what happened, obviously. Now, you know, they're now trying to give it some utility. They're now trying to do that play I told you about. Apparently, you can buy Trump merchandise with Trump's token now, with the Trump meme coin. Real utility there. I mean, oh, God. I bought this MAGA hat with the Trump meme coin. Wow, changing the world. You could also have just used PayPal or your credit card or Stripe or whatever Trump's merch store uses. Who the fuck knows? Oh, God. We are really in the golden age of grift right now. Folks. And, you know, I did not realize this would take this long, actually. Because I was planning on going into AI for a little bit. But I think the best thing to do before just throwing all this, shoveling all this garbage into one episode. I think the best thing to do, honestly, is to just say, we'll get to AI later. You know, the last episode or two of Scam Economy before I took that unplanned break was about how I was going to cover more AI because that's where the tech world was pivoting into. And for people who want a little bit more information, the reason that they took that break was because I was sort of getting a little bit burnt out. I was doing two shows all on my own, and then I was on two other shows. And then on top of that, my day job is a reporter, but I'm a tech reporter. So I was doing a lot. And on top of that, you know, taking care of my kids and things like that. So, you know, I got a little bit burnt out and I had to take a little unplanned sabbatical from not everything. I was, if you were watching my live streams and stuff, you'll know I've been here every week. You know, some weeks I was doing three shows, some weeks I was doing two shows. But I've been here. YouTube.com/MattBinder if you want to catch the live streams I do. Twitch.tv/MattBinder if you prefer to watch there. You could also drop a super chat or a super thanks on YouTube or become a YouTube member. You could subscribe on YouTube with a paid membership if you'd like to support. Also, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you get a free Twitch Prime subscription every month. Basically, at no extra cost to you, you can force Jeff Bezos to give a little bit of money to one of your favorite creators. You know, he's already given money to Trump. Why not force him to give like $2 to your favorite Twitch streamer? I'm telling you this because I hope it'll be me. Twitch.tv/MattBinder. But even if it's not me, and by the way, you need to manually redo this every month. Like once you subscribe with a Twitch Prime subscription, the free one that comes with your Amazon Prime subscription, they don't auto renew because that's where they want to get you. They want you to forget so they don't have to give that extra couple bucks to your favorite creator. So every month, renew it and if you don't want to give it to me, just give it to somebody. Make sure Bezos ain't getting that extra couple of bucks. Patreon.com/Matt Binder to support the podcasts I do. Scam Economy is included at scameconomy.com. This episode of the live stream, for you live stream viewers, you're about to see it up on the Scam Economy feed. Podcast feed, I should say, at scameconomy.com. On Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify. If you haven't already given this show a podcast, if you haven't already given this show a review on your favorite podcast platform, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do so. I think the most recent review I got was from a crypto fan who was super pissed at me and rubbing it in that Bitcoin hit like six figures and how I'm now poor because I didn't invest in Bitcoin or whatever. Which, again, I've said this time and time again. My critique of the space, my calling it a multi-level marketing scheme, a Ponzi scheme, a pump and dump scheme, a scam, a grift, the entire thing is a scam economy. My feelings about that have zero to do with how well the scam market is going. It has nothing to do with how much Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other cryptocurrency is worth. Because after all, scams proliferate because scams are successful. People make a lot of money off of scams and grifts and schemes. Of course they do. Otherwise, people wouldn't do them. People make a lot of money. Millions and millions. Billions. It's a $1 billion market. Trillions. A $1 trillion market. People make a lot of money off of this stuff. So, you know, my analysis of the situation never has anything really to do with how much the market is placing Bitcoin or whatever. But that guy was very pissed and wanted to, he thought he was rubbing it in. What pissed me off wasn't what he was saying. What pissed me off was he gave me a bad review on Apple Podcasts. It hurt my overall review rating. Listen, if you don't like the show, feel free to leave a bad review. But don't give me a bad review because Bitcoin is doing better than ever. Nothing to do with the show. It's the opposite of what I say on this show. So if you want, leave a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search Scam Economy. You'll find the show. What else? All right. So I've been teasing this newsletter. I had a few posts over the past few months, some of which did very well, broke some news. It was just sort of, feeling around for it, seeing how it was going. I was impressed with how it went. So I am launching a newsletter. I've been saying I was going to do it. I'm just getting things ready. It's going to be ready to go. Any moment now, there'll be posts going up for it. I have not launched the paid aspect of the newsletter. There'll be a paid aspect of it. And for the first time ever, I will be paywalling content. You know, for the most part, everything on Scam Economy and Doomed, my other show, it's free. People give to help me keep the show going. But, you know, what they get out of it is a second half of the show, like a membership-only section where I take calls and read messages and super chats. They get that in a podcast feed. That's, you know, still streamed for everybody. But the newsletter will be paywalled for some of it. But you'll get a ton of free content, too. Subscribe now at disruptionist.com. That's disruptionist.com. Subscribe to it for free. Whether you decide to pay for it or not, when the paid portion of it launches, you don't have to. There'll be tons of free stuff regardless, but there's some good stuff I'm working on. There's a reason I haven't posted anything yet. I'm working on a bunch of good stuff, so I have some stuff in the bag. So I have things going forward to make it worth your hard-earned money. With all that said, I am going to go on to the next part of this live stream where I will take your calls and read your super chats. But if you're listening to the free podcast feed of the show, I thank you for sticking around and keeping this podcast in your subscriptions. And I will see you all very soon next time in the Scam Economy.